Good afternoon, everyone. We still have quite a few people who are signing in at the moment, but we thought we'd go ahead and get started. Welcome to today's webinar on consumer behavior related to COVID-19. Where are they spending time and money? I'm Robin Thompson from Advanced Local, and we're really excited to have so many of you join us today. Before we get started, just a few housekeeping items. First, thank you to so many of you who pre-submitted some great questions. Since we do have hundreds of attendees today, we'll definitely answer some of them during the webinar. There's also a chat box available for you to submit questions, so feel free to add them at any time during the presentation. We'll continue to answer questions and deliver the information you've asked for over the coming days. In addition, there'll also be a recording of the webinar and the deck will be made available to you tomorrow. But we will be answering some questions at the end of the session and I'll look forward to doing that. So now I'd like to introduce Tim Kennedy. Tim is the Northeast Regional President for Advanced Local and he oversees your local Advanced Media New York and PA Media Group and Mass Live Media Group teams. So right now, turn it over to you, Tim.
Thank you, Robin. And thanks to everyone who signed up for today's seminar. The response has been tremendous with over 400 people registering. We have a lot of questions and a lot of interest. So let's dive right in. Let me make 3 points up front here. And everybody take this as opinion. First, the world has fundamentally changed in a way that I think is different than 9/11 or even the financial crisis of 2008. As marketeers, no matter what industry we're in, you need to take stock of where we are now and we need to adjust. So the fact that you're here is a great step forward. Second, our messaging, your messaging and strategies have to reflect the current mindset of your customers. George is going to go into some detail about that in a minute. 3 weeks ago, our companies, Mass Live Media, PA Media Group, and Advanced Media New York, realized that we should field some research. And that research should be focused on helping our clients get grounded in this shift that's occurring. Our mission, be it on the advertising services side or on the news side, is to make our communities a better place. And so that's what we're going to talk about here today. Lastly, I think we all need to look toward the future. I can't tell you exactly what Governor Baker or Governor Wolf or Governor Cuomo are when they're going to relax the restrictions that are currently placed on businesses today. It'll likely be in the next 2, 3, maybe 5 weeks, and it's likely to be choppy. But I think that the customer mindset is not going to return to a pre-COVID state. So you need to position your businesses and your brands for that new mindset. With that, let me introduce my good friend, our good friend, George Kuhn, who is owner and president of Drive Research. George is the best researcher that I've ever worked with. And like many of you, he is a small business owner and operator. So let's dive right in. George, take it away.
Thanks, Tim. I know you're missing your Cubs baseball as much as I'm missing the Mets, but hopefully you will get back to those sports soon. I might regret saying that as a Mets fan, but
hey, well, once the snow melts, George.
All right. Well, hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us today on this webinar. I'm George, president of Drive Research. We're a full service market research firm here in Syracuse. Our team's always excited to partner with Advanced Local on work, particularly this study. You know, we have a jam-packed 30 minutes here, a lot of insightful data points, consumer behavior around the coronavirus pandemic, specific to your market and the Northeast. So some results you may expect, there's going to be some surprises in here. We'll share some examples and ideas of how you can take action with these results as well. So jumping on to our agenda here, what are we going to cover today? A lot of good stuff. So we're going to explore consumer sentiment and emotions around COVID, changes in time spent with a variety of media channels, change in purchase behavior across key verticals and categories. We're also going to touch on some other nuggets of data, give you some next steps if you're interested in exploring these results further. And like Robin said, we'll wrap up with some Q&A at the end. And as with any good research, this is going to answer or confirm a lot of questions for you. but it's also going to raise some other questions we're going to want answers to. We'll do our best to address those. So to give you a quick overview of the methodology here, so an online survey conducted with 1,200 adult consumers across the Northeast markets of Advance. So that included Massachusetts, both the Holyoke and Boston DMA, upstate New York, including Binghamton, Syracuse, and the Watertown DMAs, and also Pennsylvania, including Harrisburg, Lebanon, Carlisle, those DMAs. 400 responses collected from each of those three markets, census representative. Also want to note here, fieldwork was conducted April 6th to 8th, earlier this month. Very important to note that. I think we all know news and guidelines around COVID seemingly changing daily, which could impact or shift this consumer data over time. So our goal with this study is to help you better understand the consumer audience during these times, help you better communicate, leverage some of this data. We encourage you to share this information. If you have others that you think it will help, Advance has some information at the end to give you a contact person to reach out for some more information. So one of the first questions we asked consumers was the first word or phrase that comes to mind when we ask about COVID-19 or the coronavirus quarantine. So what word would they use? Let's find out. So across all markets and audiences, the top word unprompted was bored or boring, as you see in this word cloud. So throughout this presentation, we're going to include some call out boxes for the age generations with those icons you see there on the right, those five age segments and those age groups. However, in this case, age doesn't matter. Bored is overwhelmingly how consumers feel right now in the Northeast. Other negative words used, Tim touched on these in his intro, things, you know, scary, stressed, lonely, crazy. When we did some additional analysis on these words, 60% mentioned negative sentiment, 29% were neutral, only 13% positive when we asked about the quarantine. Those positives really centering around family time, which is really a true silver lining with all of this, something we'll likely never experience again. So the negative sentiment is really important to keep mindful of when you communicate with your customers. This is how they feel. These are their emotions. So in your marketing, you want to find ways to create engaging, helpful content that will help ease some of the anxiety, some of the boredom, some of the stress that may be related to your type of business. And I'll give you some examples of those in a few minutes. So next, we move on to asking consumers how long the crisis will last and when life will return back to normal. And the key takeaway here is most consumers understand this is going to be a long haul, depending on how they define life as normal. Nearly one in three said June. We had 50% who said July or later. So consumers really understand the potential lengthy duration of COVID's impact. So many of you are probably thinking, you know, should I market? Should I advertise now? This is a really nice nugget I read from an article from Think with Google earlier this week. It said 85% of consumers in the U.S. still feel it is acceptable for companies, brands to communicate with them at this time, 85%. So the term they used was communicate, though, not market, not sell. So think about ways to transition some of that messaging from direct sales pitches to helping people in times of crisis. We know fear, anxiety, stress is high from those open ends we just looked at. So how can your product or service benefit the consumer? How can it alleviate some of those top concerns? So for some examples, you know, if you work for a bank or credit union, share content around how to get updates on stimulus checks with links to the .gov site. Post or share articles on how to save money with particular accounts. Considerations before taking out a loan. You know, running an ad or making people aware that you're waiving checking fees during these times of financial hardships, things like that. If you're a CPG or consumer goods brand, you know, offer money saving tips, cooking more from home, tips for meal plans for the week, tips on saving money on groceries. It's really taking a step back and thinking about the bigger picture in a time of crisis, thinking beyond your business or product. You know, if you're a restaurant, I know that's a hot button topic now for a lot of areas. You know, try to ease that concern around exposure to the virus, you know, even during takeout. You know, talk about the steps, some of the safety sanitation protocol you have in place for pickup orders. Use pics, do a walkthrough video. Try to get the consumers to just try it with you once. Get past that initial barrier they might have. makes it a lot easier for them to return a second and third time once they realize it's safe. So a recent study we read from M4 with app users found consumers were much more likely to make a purchase after seeing or hearing COVID safety messaging from a restaurant. So really important, make this clear on your app, make it clear on your website, your social pages if you're not doing it already. Don't assume customers know that. You know, and in the unfortunate case where you've been, you know, forced to close indefinitely, think about other ways you can hit the ground running when you return. You know, a simple example we talk to our clients about is a simple survey, doing it on your own. You know, if you have a customer email list and you haven't sent anything to them since you've been closed, try something free on Google Forms or SurveyMonkey. Ask your customers about your restaurant. What menu items should you add? What do you like about our restaurant? What do you think about service, quality, price? How can we improve? It's a real creative way to think about communicating and marketing without necessarily selling to them, but you continue to build that relationship. So moving on, we asked four areas of concern around COVID. And what we found was the economy was the top concern among consumers, even more so than health or jobs. The concern with health was directly correlated to age. Here's some data to back that up. The older the respondent, the more concerned they were with their health. The younger the respondent, the less concerned they were. So what we see here with these segment breakouts across the board, Massachusetts respondents were more concerned with each of these four topics, more so than New York or Pennsylvania respondents. We also found it interesting, boomers and traditionalists, our two oldest age groups, were the most concerned audience with their job or job market. You know, that could be a number of things. Maybe the shift in workforce to remote, more technology. Is this audience worried it can keep up? Are they worried about the long-term viability of their job or role in the economy as it continues to suffer and they approach retirement? You know, is there also concern about their children, their grandchildren's jobs as part of the job market? You know, perhaps all the above. So next, it's an interesting chart on consumer time spent, a lot here. We asked about this with a variety of media. So we asked consumers if they're spending more, the same, or less amount of time with each of these. The market research world has been measuring this digital takeover for a while now. It's really driven home here by this chart. You see things like streaming, social media, smartphone apps, online search, even news websites are seeing 50 to 60% of consumers saying they're spending more time with those. So what does this mean for you? There are some more opportunities to get in front of your customers and new customers. So singling out social media for a moment, you know, a platform like Facebook is seeing record levels of usage since COVID hit, but that's not necessarily translating to more ad revenue. A lot of stories around that. A lot of businesses have been forced to freeze their advertising dollars. So what this does is it really creates a major gap, but also lots of potential opportunities to engage consumers since the bus is really fairly empty right now. So brands have a real chance to stand out with limited competition. Some interesting notes by market here. You'll see Massachusetts much more likely to spend time with a lot of these channels. But also channels that also pop for New York and Pennsylvania as well, where you see with those icons. So a recent study, an interesting point here from our friends over at Luth Research, found that 79% plan to continue to use online shopping apps the same or more once COVID passes. So what that indicates is some long-term adoption of these new digital behaviors. So if there's a way for your shoppers to check out online through your business, if you're thinking about jumping into e-commerce with an app, now is the time to really think about adopting or investing in that tech to improve your customer experience. The usage really can be long lasting. You know, it's a short-term strategy now to help you with sales during COVID, but lots of long-term benefits for that. Some interesting generational breakdowns here too. We see Gen Z much more likely to spend additional time with nearly all of these channels. And lastly, millennials here are the most likely audience to spend more time with newspapers since COVID began, which we thought was really interesting, very unexpected. So some assumptions there, you know, maybe they're looking for some cost-saving coupons and Sunday circulars due to financial strain, new house, new family. You know, are they simply just interested in news and politics of COVID? So some interesting thoughts there of why that might be the case and why they're reading newspapers more often than other age groups. So moving on, this next question, we talked a little bit about purchasing and shopping behavior since the COVID crisis began. So topping the list of categories here where consumers are buying more include groceries, household supplies and cleaning, health, wellness, and personal care, and entertainment services. So we see here entertainment services having increased spend, which directly ties to more time spent with streaming on the prior slide, so more time to watch equals more subscriptions. The biggest drops we see on this chart among spending with consumers, restaurants, apparel, beauty products, makes a lot of sense though, right? You know, in a time where social distancing is encouraged, many of us are working from home. So things like work clothes, beauty products, not needed as much. I was reading some funny data points actually yesterday on Aeropostale and Russell Athletic, seeing 20 to 40% upticks in sales of sweatpants. I guess there really is data for everything. And if you can't find it, I suppose you can ask a survey question about it, right? So we did have some additional questions here on indoor and outdoor home improvement projects that we didn't showcase on this slide, but 3 in 4 still have a project in the works over the next 6 months, indoor or outdoor home improvement, with 15% saying they plan on spending over $5,000. So even with the poor economy and concerns, households are still planning to spend. So nearly across the board here in these categories, Gen Z was the most common age group to state that they were spending more. So many who fit that Gen Z profile are starting or looking to start their professional careers. So why are they the most freely spending generation here? So we found in a study from CNBC stated nearly 2 in 3 Gen Z consumers do not know how much is in their bank account and their savings. Does that contribute to a lack of knowledge of their finances and more free spending? Maybe it's more time and easy access to online shopping at their fingertips. We saw that on the last slide with them spending more time online. Could be a number of reasons of why they're likely to spend more overall. And lastly, millennials on this chart, most likely to spend more on alcohol and baby products, which me as a 38-year-old millennial father of a 1-year-old, that could not ring more true. So on this next slide, we'll talk a little bit about competition. Several of our local markets, a lot of small businesses expressing concern with us that, you know, this consumer shift to virtual customer dealings, how it's going to impact their business. So they're thinking it might remove the need for consumers to feel like they have to do business locally if there's no need to meet in person, right? A valid concern. So initially from this data, that assumption does have some legs for professional service organizations. 1 in 3 agrees they are more likely to search outside of the local area now for things like lawyers, accountants, financial advisors, consultants, and other like businesses as they gather more comfort with virtual meetings. So this really puts a lot of additional pressure on businesses, you know, ranking things like SEO and pay-per-click to ensure they're found when they're searched. So the shift in mindset here, you know, is rather than local being a must-have factor, it could develop more into a nice to have factor for professional services. So if a consumer is open to working with anyone in the US, being local might be a secondary differentiator in the future, you know, from you and say a competitor in California. The bright side of this though, is if you're a local business, it also works the other way, right? So your target market area has potential to expand beyond Massachusetts, beyond New York, beyond Pennsylvania, as consumers become more comfortable with those virtual settings. It opens you up to some new geographies to attract customers. So we also asked about on this next question, usage of stimulus checks and how consumers, how they plan to spend on those. Many have already received or will receive shortly by the mail. So supporting sentiment around concern with the economy, health, jobs, you could really argue that the top 5 uses for stimulus money are very real necessary living expenses. We see groceries and food, bills, emergency funds, paying off loans or debt, rent or mortgage. Beyond those more necessary expenses, we see things like home improvement projects, supporting small businesses, and saving for future vacations and trips. So our firm does have a travel tourism study being released soon on COVID around upstate New York. To give you a sneak peek there, I know we have some people in the travel tourism industry. registered. To give you a sneak peek there, what we found is a lot of plans for shorter road trips after COVID ends. So think less trains, less buses, less planes. It's ultimately going to lead to more local, more regional travel in the near term as people ease their way back into crowds and major vacations. So final few slides here before we jump into Q&A. We also dove into some verticals like education, healthcare, and banking here. So first off, we asked consumers if they're currently taking or would be willing to take online courses or training to further their skills. So nearly 1 in 2 are taking online courses or training or would consider doing so. So half of the general public. And that's really driven by, you know, having more time, perhaps concern about the profession, other things that force anyone, you know, to rethink skill sets in times of crisis. They're thinking, you know, is my job going to be stable in 5 years? Should I rethink my career? So if you work for a higher education or a setting where you can offer classes to help consumers improve themselves, seems like an excellent time to communicate that message and get people to sign up for coursework, certificates, things like that. We also saw Massachusetts residents were much more likely than New York and Pennsylvania consumers to express interest here. So second, healthcare. We found nearly 2 in 3 are more likely to consider telehealth or digital healthcare since COVID began. It's a lot, you know, more than I expected. We know from prior findings, health is a large concern for a vast majority of people, consumers in the survey. So it really translates to more openness to virtual appointments, phone appointments, and so on. You know, this is a service that has been slowly adopted over the years. I'm really curious to see if COVID pushes telehealth into the mainstream, things like contactless doctor's appointments, prescription pickups, and so on. Lastly, on this slide, digital banking. So through Advance, we know through our Nielsen data, many have adopted digital banking services in the market. Not too much of a surprise there. About one in two use it regularly in the Northeast before COVID. But with branches closing, drive-through being the only option for many, consumers are jumping even more so to digital banking. So if you work in this space, consider making concessions for consumers, you know, during times like these, things like increasing the maximum mobile check deposit threshold, making forms and paperwork available online. We saw that with the Paycheck Protection Program. And other changes to really ride this wave of more digital users. So the next question here inquired about working from home policies with employers, really hot button topic, right? And exploring if businesses are going to be more flexible once COVID's over. So what we see in this data is nearly 2 in 3 consumers stating working from home is going to be a very real option post-COVID with their employer. We had 30% saying they already have some flexibility, 17% stating their employer will be somewhat more open, and 16% stating their employer will be much more open to remote options. So businesses, you know, may be seeing benefits with this already, things like productivity, employee satisfaction, efficiencies, decreased need for rent and office space. It'll be interesting to see how that will impact the commercial real estate side of things, things like decreased overhead. So COVID is bringing a lot of these benefits, potential cost savings to the forefront for business owners where they might not have been realized before. So a couple takeaways before we jump into some Q&A. I said it was gonna be a jam-packed 30 minutes. So first, find creative ways to communicate with your audience. So if you're not comfortable in a time of crisis, find other ways to think about offering advice, engaging information, cost-saving content, to build relationships with your customers. You know, so when they do have that additional money to spend, you're really top of mind. They're thinking of you first. Second, you know, although it's challenging right now to market and sell, there's also opportunity. You can't argue with that with some of the data we looked at. We saw bored as a top word choice. The definition of bored is someone being unoccupied, right? And that's evidenced by many of the media channels we just looked at where people are saying they're spending a lot more time. Many of those sources online. So if there's little competition for ad space there, you know, the right message could make a huge impact right now. So you don't want to disappear from consumers. And third, we also saw high levels of concern with the economy, health, jobs. You know, this all results in the general public seeking answers of how behavior is going to change, which drew hundreds of you to this session here today. So be that source of guidance with your customers where you can. Ask yourself, you know, are there things you're learning through this, through COVID, changes to your business operations that is making things easier for your customers to do business with you? If you are instituting things that are making it easier for your business, keep integrating those after COVID ends. It's the benefit to the consumer. So with that, I will turn it back over to Robin, our moderator, for some Q&A with our remaining time.
Thank you so much, George. That was really great information. Let's get directly to some questions. We've had quite a few come in through the Q&A, and we had a lot of pre-submitted. So we're going to answer some. We may be going beyond the 12:30, so we know that if you need to get off at that time, we appreciate your time, and you will be getting an option to get hold of the recording and also the deck tomorrow. You'll get an email with that information. But let's get to these questions. First question is for George, and it comes from Allison Syracuse. When we move forward to a new normal, do you see these COVID consumer habits shifting? Do you think these consumer habits are something that will actually stick?
That's the golden question, right? Probably something that everybody's wondering. You know, will my consumers go back to normal, or will they continue to change? The short answer is really yes or no, right? It really depends on your vertical. You know, the impact of banking with the digital products and services there could be long lasting. You know, it's really kind of kicked mobile banking into high gear with restaurants. You know, I think many will still want that experience getting out, dining out once COVID ends. But will it impact the whole pickup process? Is that smoother now for everyone to take to-go orders, things like Grubhub? You know, will restaurants build their own pickup and delivery apps? You know, I guess if you take a look at car dealerships, for example, right? You know, people will return to dealerships. You know, customers want to get in cars, they want to touch, they want to play around with features, test drive, all that stuff. You know, although some dealerships are doing some limited sales in a structured way, that's a vertical I would imagine that's going to go back close to normal. If anything, this COVID pandemic should really force every business to rethink their customer experience a little bit and try to make it easier. I don't know, Tim, what do you think? Anything to add there?
Well, George, I think you're right about habits, right? Some habits will change, some may not. But, you know, I think, as I said earlier, I think mindsets of customers, which are a little bit different than habits, will change. As the word cloud showed, you know, a lot of people are bored. A lot of people are scared. Some people, you know, think about some people have spent time and focused on the importance of healthcare workers, the way many folks talked and thought about police and fire after 9/11. You know, how do those mindset changes impact really not only, you know, businesses in those industries, but really everybody and how you speak to a consumer in that mindset? Again, I think, you know, once mindsets change, they don't go back.
That's a great observation there. So here's a question for you, Tim. This comes from Lynn in Harrisburg. What do you expect to see in terms of consumer behavior when the stay-at-home order gets lifted? Will people flock to bars, restaurants, hair salons, stores, et cetera, or be cautious and selective?
Well, I think a lot of that will be driven by how they're open. So if you think about restaurants and bars, it's likely that when they are allowed to reopen, they will reopen with some new social distancing guidelines. And so how do you market, as Georgia talked about before? Are you, if you're a restaurant or bar, are you talking about the safety precautions that you're taking in your restaurant and bar and what you're doing? You probably need to introduce that when you're allowed to open up. If you need a haircut, like I need a haircut, you're probably going to take the first appointment that you can get. But I think here's a tricky version of that question. Many of our states are now talking again at the county and at the state level about how do we return to allowing elective surgeries, or even think about dental work, right? Will consumers take that pre-COVID mindset into those elective surgeries, into those dental procedures? I don't know, but if I had to guess, I think that there are going to be a lot of customers that are going to be challenged. And again, to the extent that you are in those fields, in those businesses, I think you have to think about how are you going to communicate to those customers, whether it's with a safety message or some other message that takes into account what people have gone through here. So I think, like a lot of things, it's going to depend on what business and industry you're in.
Right. So here's another question. This is for George, and it's from Caitlin in Fairport. What kind of messages are best during this time, especially sales-related industries such as car dealerships and financial services?
Yeah, great question. So I touched a little bit on those in the overview, my walkthrough. You know, first and foremost, your message really has to add some value, be helpful. So in terms of if you're a car dealership, you really have to be understanding in this time. You know, we realize your family might be rethinking a new vehicle purchase. Here are some helpful tips, you know, to make sure you make the right decision when you're ready. Talking them through, giving them some information on lease versus own, pre-owned versus new, must-have features versus nice-to-have, you know, if people need to cut back. Offer content that really, you know, provides some information to relieve some of that stress around a bigger purchase like that. Financial services, the second part of that question, the time is really ripe for that to get your message out there. There may not be another service that people are looking for more information or more advice on than that in terms of investing, retirement funds, you know, college savings, family savings. All I could say is just be willing to offer advice, put tips on your website, social media, other non-paid channels if you have to, if you can't afford to spend on marketing. I think all brands are kind of jumping on board now just to try to genuinely help customers and consumers and be go-to sources. Tim, any thoughts there?
Yeah, I would add, George, you know, authenticity and empathy should be front and center, I think. You know, all consumers have been through some form of trauma here. And think about your own story, right? How did you get through as the business owner, as the marketeer? How did you get through the crisis? How did your employees get through the crisis? Is there something there that makes you more relatable in an authentic way to your consumers and your customers? Think about the story. I mean, we've all been on conference calls now with colleagues that are young couples with young children, and they've been homeschooling their children now for 2 months. You know, can you relate to what they've been going through, and how do you relate in an authentic way? I think that if you're in a sales and if you're in a sort of sales and service related industry, you have to think about what your customers have just gone through, and see how you position yourself with authenticity and empathy to relate to them.
Great. Now, George, here's another question. This is from Taryn. She's interested in thoughts and projections on the ability for the following segments to recover: travel, tourism, entertainment, and hospitality. Any thoughts there?
Yeah. To my prior point, I think we're going to see a lot more local, regional travel in the near term. You know, bigger trips, I think, will really depend on the crisis, how quickly it ends, how safe people feel, how much they have saved too, as people dip into their savings accounts. I think there's gonna be a lot of social influence too. I think that's part of it when impacting, you know, vacations, trips. I think families' concern may wait for other friends and families to go out and do vacations, understand it went fine, they returned safe, go from there, they can book, you know, after that. I think there's gonna be a portion of trailblazers that will jump headfirst. Probably the younger age groups, as we saw in the data, who are less concerned about health. I think the majority of this and this return will be spread out a little bit over time. I think it'll be a slow gain. Tim, what do you think?
Well, I think you got it right again, George. And I've heard that, you know, anecdotally from friends of mine about travel. Like one thing I would add, you know, I think we will see a lot of demand pull advertising from the majors. You know, I think about the airlines and the major destinations. When they're allowed, when they're able to come back, I think you're going to see a lot of demand pull advertising, which will put some pressure and change on the rest of us. And, you know, I think the other thing I would add is if you think about sort of summer travel and entertainment, as you pointed to, obviously pocketbook is going to be an issue. Again, the state of the consumer, the health of their financial household financial situation. But think about the summer concert series being for the most part, shortened, where many performers have canceled tours. So, you know, there are dollars that would have been spent, and sometimes they're spent, you know, without thinking, that are opened up now. So, you know, I think those opportunities become opportunities for clients, for customers, to introduce your business, to introduce your destination to a new set of customers that perhaps wouldn't have been your target in the past.
That's great. Tim, another question here. This is from Bruce in Massachusetts. Based on the numbers and your best guess, which industries do you think will return to productivity and profitability the fastest? Like, where are the most employment opportunities going to be?
Well, that's a really tough question. You know, I think clearly essential businesses have a leg up here because, you know, for the most part, essential businesses have continued to run even in some kind of a diminished capacity. And I don't think any of us, again, have been through something like this. So, you know, I think that, you know, the key would be, I would hope that when we all open up, one, we all open up safely. I think we all want to do it in a way that allows our communities to move forward. But as I said earlier, you know, I think it's going to be choppy. I think it's going to be choppy, both because we've never been through this, and we're going to see some kind of staged rollout of continuation of businesses. So, you know, I think that, again, back to the customer mindset, I think that's what I would focus on. You know, I think we all have to make sure we're looking at the world through our customers' eyes, no matter when they're allowed to come back to our business. So that's a really tough question about which industries are going to come back stronger, better. I think we're all going to be impacted, both in the short run and in the long run.
We've gotten some really great questions on the Q&A online. Do both of you have time to maybe take a couple more, and we'll keep going? And if people have to jump off, we appreciate that. But if you can stay, we might be able to answer those. Sound good?
Sure.
Sounds good.
Okay. So this one actually is specific about the survey, and I thought this was interesting. Someone asked, did you note any differences between urban, suburban, rural, anything in geography, even within each of those areas for the responses?
Yeah, great question. It kind of goes back to, you know, when you run a survey, sometimes there's questions that come out of it that you want answers to, right? So the majority of the survey was just focused on census representative within each of those markets. So when we look at the data in a whole, and even if you take a look at data broken down by Massachusetts, it's really within those DMAs, whatever the breakdown of urbanicity looks like, rural, suburban, you know, urban, the data is going to match, you know, the representation of that audience within those DMAs.
That's great. And another one, this goes back to the survey, George, so I'll leave you there. To what extent do you think that your survey responses will change once the COVID scare subsides?
Yeah, it's a great question. Personally, I'd be really interested to do some future waves of this to really measure that, right? We do a lot of brand tracking studies with clients, right? So when you think about being a brand, you know, like Procter & Gamble, who's tracking, say, you know, cleaning products pre-COVID, and what that looked like in terms of factors of consideration for those products, right? People probably were very brand loyal before COVID, price sensitivity, but when they go in the store and they see those shelves empty, all of that goes out the window. You know, all of that brand tracking study data that you have, it's a new world. So I would imagine, yeah, I mean, as this crisis evolves, you know, things are changing daily, if not weekly. It'll be very interesting to see how consumer behavior and those shifts take place over time.
Great. So we do have some more questions, but I think we're going to take those, and we'll be producing some documentation that answers them so everybody can see them. They're going to take a little bit more research there. But I do have one really special question for Tim, and it comes from Kevin, who wants to know, who should the Lions take with the third pick in tonight's draft?
George, did we survey that one?
Oh, I can add it in there if you want.
Yeah, I think so. I think the Lions should take whoever they can get, frankly.
I'm just hopeful the Giants get someone good with that fourth pick. So,
So that's really all the time we've got for today, but thank you, George. This has been terrific. Thanks everyone who's attending. Tim, do you have any final thoughts?
Sure. Robin, thank you. Great job moderating. Thank you everyone for taking time to be with us. Thank you, George. As always, terrific job with the research and the presentation. You're the best. Just a reminder, you know, our teams at Advanced Media New York, the PA Media Group, Mass Live Media, we're here to help you. If you have any questions about today's presentation or feel the consultation with an AE can help your business, reach out to, you see Gareth and Michelle and Bob's contact information on the slide here. Please reach out to them. As Robin said, we've had additional questions submitted. We'll get that information out to folks. So on behalf of all my colleagues, on behalf of George, on behalf of my colleagues at Advanced Media New York, PA Media Group, Mass Live Media, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. We hope that you have a great rest of your day. Thank you and goodbye.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Tim. And we'll keep the chat box open for a few minutes if anybody else would like to submit some more questions, and we will get those answered and get back to you. Thanks again.